The chimp looked eagerly from the holo display. Krydeike had trouble taking this very seriously. Charlie made it sound like a whodunit, only in this case the culprits were civilizations, the clues whole cities, and the rug under which the evidence was being swept was a planet's crust. It was the perfect crime. After all, the cop on the corner only swings by every few million years, and is late at that. Krydeike realized every metaphor he had just used was a human one. Well, that was to be expected. There were times, such as space warp piloting, when cetacean analogies were more useful. But when thinking about the crazy politics of the galactics, it helped to have watched a lot of old human movie thrillers and read volumes of crazy human history. Now, Brukita and Dart were arguing some technical point, and all Krydeike could think of was the taste of the water near Hikaki. He badly wanted to ask her if the flavor meant what he thought it meant. Was it a perfume she had put on, or natural pheromone? With some difficulty, he forced himself back to the subject at hand. Charlie's and Brukita's discovery under normal circumstances would be exciting. But this has no bearing on escape for my ship and crew, nor getting our data back to the Terrigan's Council. Even the mission I sent Kipiru and Toshio on to help appraise the native pre-sentience is more urgent than hunting arcane clues in ancient alien rocks. Excuse me, Captain, I'm sorry I'm late. I've been listening quietly for a while, though. Krydeike turned to see Dr. Ignacio Metz drift up alongside. The gangling, gray-haired psychologist treaded water slowly, casually compensating for a small negative buoyancy. A slight potbelly distended the neat fit of his slick brown dry suit. Brukita and Dart argued on, now about rates of heating by radioactives, gravity, and meteoritic impact. Hikaki apparently found it all fascinating.
You're welcome even late, Dr. Metz. I'm glad you could make it.
Krydeike was amazed he hadn't heard the man approach. Metz normally made a racket you could hear halfway across the bay. He sometimes radiated a 2 kilohertz hum from his right ear. It was barely detectable now, but at times it was quite annoying. How could a man have worked with fins for so long and never had the problem corrected? Now I'm beginning to sound like Charlie Dart, he chided himself. Don't be peevish, Krydeike. He whistled a stanza, which echoed only within his own skull. Those who live all vibrate, all, and aid the world's singing. Captain, I actually came out here for another reason, but Dart's and Brukita's discovery may bear on what I have to say. Can we talk in private? Krydeike became expressionless. He had to get some rest and exercise soon. Overwork was wearing him down, and Streaker could ill afford that. But this human had to be treated carefully. Metz could not command him, aboard Streaker or anywhere, but he had power, power of a particularly potent kind. Krydeike knew that his own right of reproduction was guaranteed, no matter how this mission ended. Still, Metz's evaluation would carry weight. Every dolphin aboard behaved as sentiently as possible around him, even the captain. Perhaps that's why I've put off a confrontation, Krydeike thought. Soon, though, he would force Dr. Metz to answer some questions regarding certain members of Streaker's crew.
Very well, Doctor, he answered. Allow me a moment.
Hikaki swam close at a nod from Krydeike. She grinned and flicked her pectorals at Metz.
Hikaki, please finish up here for me. Don't let them go more than another 10 minutes before summing up. Meet me in an hour in Recreation Pool 3A with your recommendations.
She answered as he had addressed her, in rapid, highly inflected underwater Anglic.
Aye, aye, Captain. Will there be anything else?
Damn. Krydike knew Hikahi's sonar showed her everything about his sexual agitation. It was easy to tell with a male. He would have to do an explicit sonic scan of her innards to gain some information about her, and that would not be polite. Things must have been so much simpler in the old times. Well, he would find out her frame of mind in an hour. One of the privileges of captaincy was to order a recreation pool cleared. There had better not be an emergency between now and then. No, nothing else for now, Hikahi. Carry on. She saluted snappily with an arm of her harness. Rukita and Charlie were still arguing as Krydike turned back to Metz. Will it be private enough if we take the long way to the bridge, Doctor? I'd like to check with Takata Jim before going on to other duties.
That'll be fine, Captain. What I have to say won't take long.
Krydike kept his face impassive. Was Metz smiling at something in particular? Something he had seen or heard?
I am still confused by the pattern of volcanoes up and down the 3,000-kilometer zone where these two plates meet, Rukita said.
He spoke slowly, partly for Charlie's benefit, and partly because it was hard to argue in oxywater. There never seemed to be enough air.
If you look at the survey charts we made from orbit, you see that volcanism is dispersed sparsely elsewhere on the planet. But here, the volcanoes are very frequent and all about the same small size.
Charlie shrugged.
I don't see how that relates at all, old man.
But isn't this also the only area where metal mounds are found? Hikahi suggested. I'm no expert, but a spacer learns to be suspicious of twin coincidences.
Charlie opened and closed his mouth as if he were about to speak, then thought better of it. At last he said,
Rukita, you think these coral critters may need some nutrient that only this type of volcano provides?
Possibly. Our exobiology expert is Denny Sudman. She's now at one of the islands investigating the aboriginals.
She must get samples for us.
Charlie rubbed his hands together.
Do you think it'd be too much to ask her to take a side trip to a volcano? Not too far away, of course, after what Krydike just said. Just a little teeny one.
Hikahi let out a short whistling laugh. The fellow had chutzpah. Still, his enthusiasm was infectious, a wonderful distraction from worry. If only she could afford to hide away from the dangerous universe in abstractions, like Charlie Dart did.
And a temperature probe!
Charlie cried.
Surely Denny'd do that much for me, after all I've done for her.
Krydike cruised a wide spiral around the swimming human, stretching his muscles as he arched and twisted. By neural command, he flexed his harness's major manipulators, like a human exercising his arms.
Very well, Doctor. What can I do for you?
Metz swam a slow kickstroke. He regarded Krydike amiably.
Captain, I believe it's time to rethink our strategy. Matters have changed since we came to Kithra.
Could you be specific?
Certainly. As you recall, we fled from the transfer point at Morgren because we didn't wish to be crushed in a seven-way ambush. You were quick to realize that even if we surrendered to one party, this would only result in all sides ganging up on our captors, inevitably leading to our destruction. I was slow to understand your logic. Now I applaud it. Of course, your tactical maneuvers were brilliant.
Thank you, Dr. Metz. You leave out another reason for our flight. We are under orders from the Terrigan's Council to bring our data directly to them, without leaks. Our capture would classify as a leak, wouldn't you say?
Certainly,
Metz agreed. And so the situation remained when we fled to Kithrop, a move which I now consider inspired. To my way of thinking, it was just bad luck this hiding place didn't work as planned. Crydike refrained from pointing out that they were still concealed in this hiding place. Go on, he suggested.
Well, the chance of escape is now next to nil. Kithrop remains a refuge from the chaos of battle, but it can't hide us for long once there is a final victor overhead.
You're suggesting?
I think we should consider our priorities and plan for unpleasant contingencies.
What priorities do you consider important? Crydike knew the answer to expect.
Why, the survival of this ship and crew, of course, and the data for evaluating the performance of both. After all, what was our main purpose out here,
Metz stopped swimming, regarding Crydike like a teacher quizzing a pupil. Crydike could list a half-dozen tasks that had been set for Streaker, from library veracity checks to establishing contact with potential allies to Thomas Orley's military intelligence work. As Metz alluded, the primary purpose was to evaluate a Dolphin-crewed, Dolphin-commanded spacecraft. Streaker and her complement were the experiment. But everything had changed since they found the derelict fleet. He couldn't operate under the priorities he had been given at the beginning. How could he explain that to a man like Metz? Judgment, Crydike mused. Thou art fled to brutish beasts, and men have lost their reason. Sometimes he thought that the bard must have been half dolphin himself.
I understand your point, Dr. Metz, but I don't see how it calls for a change in strategy. We still face destruction should we poke our beaks above Kithrop's sea.
Only if we do so before there's a winner overhead. Certainly we shouldn't expose ourselves until the crossfire is over.
However, we are in a position to negotiate once there is a victor. We may yet win success for this mission.
Crydike resumed his slow spiral, forcing the geneticist to swim again toward the bridge lock. Can you suggest what we might have to offer in negotiation, Dr. Metz?
Metz smiled. For one thing, we have the information Brukita and Charles Dart have literally dug up. The institutes reward those who report ecological crimes. Most of the factions fighting over us are traditionalist conservatives of one stripe or another, and would appreciate our discovery.
Crydike refrained from expressing in raspberries his contempt for the man's naivete. Go on, Doctor, he said levelly. What else have we to offer?
Well, Captain, there's also the honor of our mission. Even if our captors decided to hold on to Streaker for a while, they'd certainly be sympathetic to our purpose. Teaching clients to use spaceships is one of the basic tasks of Uplift. Surely they'd let us send a few men and Fenn home with our behavior evaluation data, so progress toward future Dolphin-crewed ships can continue. For them to do otherwise would be like a stranger interfering in the development of a child because of an argument with its parent.
And how many human children were tortured and killed because of the sins of their parents, back in your own dark ages? Crydike wanted to ask who would be the emissary to carry the Uplift data back to Earth, while Streaker was held captive.
Dr. Metz, I think you underestimate the fanaticism of those involved.
But is there more?
Of course, I saved the most important for last.
Metz touched Crydike's flank for emphasis.
We must consider giving the Galactics what they want.
Crydike had expected it. You think we should give up the location of the derelict fleet?
Yes, and whatever souvenirs or data we picked up there.
Crydike wore his poker face. How much does he know about Jillian's Herbie, he wondered. Great dreamer, but that cadaver's caused problems.
This ends side one of cassette 4.